Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. Happy Friday. Or should I say Friday? Yes, the weekend is right around the corner. It is July 28th, 2017, and we have a sizzling hot show in store for all of you out there right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Multiple ways you can listen to the show via WKAR.org as well. Also, via our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/currentsports. We already have comments coming in, and we just started the show. Shout out to Ben Grimes and Chris Jennings that say, Happy Friday, Al, and what's up, Al? Yes, it is Friday indeed, and thank you, Ben, Chris, and everyone out there tuned in. We've got a full plate for you all to close out this week here on WKAR's Current Sports. I attended last night's Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame ceremony at the Lansing Center, as many great names that made a profound impact throughout their respective athletic careers as players and coaches were inducted last night. 9 individuals, 2 teams, also another community service award winner. We'll get to all of those details. You'll also get a chance to hear from 3 of the inductees from last night with the help of our current sports interns, Jacob Herbert and Karina Garcia. They did a great job covering that event last night with us. Also, we'll discuss Colin Kaepernick. I must say, for a moment, I really thought the Cap was going to get signed when you really dive into the comments of John Harbaugh, brother of U of M football coach Jim Harbaugh. John, of course, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, had some positive things to say concerning Colin Kaepernick, but not so fast. Colin Kaepernick is still looking for a job in the National Football League. We'll discuss that. Also, there was an interesting article that was published by ESPN yesterday that broke down why fans out there tuned out from the NFL. Why were the ratings down a bit last year? Interesting findings, I must say, to say the least. I've got a strong opinion about those findings, though. And we will have James Moore a part of our airwaves. James Moore, the famed fullback that played for the 1988 Michigan State football team. He joins us for a segment each and every Friday entitled The Swap Meet. SWAP standing for Speaking With a Purpose, the campaign, the philanthropic campaign that Moore is a part of, swapping out negative energy with positive energy, right? Today, James will sound off on the New York Times report about CTE and former football players. And we will talk with current sports intern Karina Garcia, whose story centered on former MSU football player Khalil Gaines, who opened up to Karina as to why he decided to transfer from the MSU football program. That story has gone absolutely viral via WKAR.org. Karina will talk about her reporting on that story. You don't want to miss that. And, of course, we will have Reflection Friday for you. Full slate, if you want to be a part of the current sports fun, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame last night. The 42nd annual event took place last night at 6:30 inside of the Lansing Center, drawing a crowd of over 700 people, the 2017 class included. Marcel Carruthers, James Keaton Jr., Charles Joblowski, Andy Marsh, Leah Nielsen, Coretti, Bob Roop, Steve Shipps, Dan Stoles, Marcus Taylor, and also Dick Letts Award winner James Keaton Sr., who is also the father of James Keaton Jr. And of two teams who got enshrined last night were the 1973 East Lansing football team and the 2002 Lansing Community College softball squad. More from that event in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. According to a report from the Michigan Insider's John Heschke, he put in a tweet from basketball scout Vince Baldwin that DeAndre Haynes will join coach John Beilein's staff as an assistant coach. Haynes was previously an assistant at Illinois State. Before that, he was an assistant at Toledo for 1 year after spending five seasons as an assistant at Kent State. Haynes also played at Kent State, playing for the Golden Flashes from 02 to 06, where he became the team's all-time leader in assists and steals. He was named MAC Player of the Year his senior year before enjoying a six-year career as a native of Detroit who played at a Southwestern High School. Haynes could do a lot to bolster Michigan's in-state recruiting presence. The Lansing Lugnuts picked up their 50th win of the year last night with an 8-7 dub over the Dayton Dragons. The first three innings saw the Nuts score 1, 2, and 4 runs, respectively. In the bottom of the third, Ridge Smith, Nick Sine, and Joshua Palacios all knocked in runs to put Lansing on top 7-3, but Dayton mounted a comeback in the next half inning, scoring a pair of runs that put them within two. Mitch Ney's homer in the bottom of the sixth would serve as the eighth and winning run in this one. Lansing beats the Dragons 8-7. The Lugnuts, though, and the Dragons are the bottom two teams, the bottom feeders right now in the Midwest League Eastern Division standings. The Luggies can complete the sweep tonight as the teams face off again at Cooley Law School Stadium, first pitch 7:05. After a humiliating sweep at the hands of the Kansas City Royals, the Detroit Tigers return to action tonight against the best team record-wise in the American League, that being the Houston Astros. Jay-Z, Jordan Zimmerman will head to the hill for Detroit. Zim, who has made only one home start since mid-June, is sporting a 4.75 ERA at Comerica Park, nearly two runs lower than elsewhere. Last time Zimmerman faced Houston, he pitched six innings but lost behind two homers and two unearned runs. Houston will get a huge piece back tonight as their ace, Dallas Keuchel. He returns from a DL stint that began more than a month ago on June 8th. The former Cy Young Award-winning lefty brings an impressive 1.67 ERA to Detroit, along with a quality start in all but two of his 11 outings this season. First pitch, 7:10 p.m. K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez. His tenure in Detroit did not end well, and we all know that. Now, unfortunately for the reliever, it's getting a lot worse because he's being sued by a Bloomfield Township, Michigan landlord for $80,000. The landlord is claiming that K-Rod damaged his rental home and kept furnishings, including walking off with a wall tapestry valued at more than $10,000. The landlord's lawyer, Rima Elzine of Dearborn, said the damage was found as soon as the tenants left and has been trying to resolve the matter through K-Rod's management team since last fall. Matthew Stafford is looking to become the NFL's highest paid player, but his current contract apparently still leaves him with plenty of moolah to buy a $3.85 million Atlanta mansion. Wow, that must be nice, right? The Detroit Lions QB has purchased an 8-bedroom, 8-bathroom mansion, according to Atlanta Business Chronicle. The 9,838 square foot estate includes a guest house, pool, cabana, theater, wine cellar, and tennis court, plus 3 extra half baths for good measure. Oh, it must be nice, right? All right, shortly after Ravens coach John Harbaugh told reporters that he wouldn't rule out signing Colin Kaepernick, the Ravens went out and signed David Olsen, formerly of the Kansas City Phantoms of the Arena Football League. Olsen played under John's brother Jim at Stanford. The now Michigan head coach gave Olsen a positive review, according to NFL.com's Ian Rappaport. He'll report to practice Friday and fill out the depth chart at QB while starter Joe Flacco recovers from a back injury. Meanwhile, Cap's free agency journey continues, and come October, O.J. Simpson will, of course, be a free man. But that isn't stopping USC football coach Clay Helton from laying down his law. Helton has made a statement in saying that Simpson would not be welcome on USC's campus after he is released. When asked whether or not Simpson would be able to attend the practice, Helton told reporters, quote, right now with USC, what the administration and the athletic department have said is no. OJ will not be a part of our functions. That's been the statement, end quote. And that is your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Join us via Facebook.com/current sports and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Here we go.
It's like the elephant in the room, and you know, you don't want to talk about it. And I've gotten to the point in my life where, like, nah, there's no need to not talk about it. I believe that I will be, hopefully not just the highest paid receiver in the league, but the highest paid, period. I got to a spot now where I feel like the things that I used to do aren't good enough. You know, it's unrealistic for me to not think that I'm going to have 2 touchdowns and 100 yards every single game. You know, it's just how I am. I love this game that much that I'm going to leave it all out there. But right now, I feel such a calmed rage. I feel like I could really channel it where I want to channel it. I don't sleep. I don't have dreams. I don't take naps. None of that. It's just really, I'm up right now until I can rest after holding up a trophy and be like, it's been a long ride, you know. But until then, words that come out of my mouth is just like, just, you know, in the air. It doesn't really mean anything. The only thing I could do is what I do on the field Sunday.
It is Friday, and welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you, Aaliyah. Oh, boy, I really can't believe it's already Friday. The week has just flown by. Absolutely flown by. Been a fun week, I must say. Especially last night. Last night was such a great event. Bob Every, big shout-out to Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. The 42nd annual induction dinner was last night. Many big names throughout mid-Michigan athletic lore were enshrined forever into that Hoff. Very cool stuff. We'll get to coverage from last night's ceremony in just a moment. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. The end of the week is here. A lot to get to. I want to address briefly Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver for the New York Football Giants, as he talked with, the uninterrupted.com, and sounded off on his game, his expectations moving forward in his career, and also Moolah, and how he wants to eventually be the highest paid wide receiver. But not only that, he went a step further in saying he wants to be the NFL's highest paid player, which, let's be real here, that will never happen for a wide receiver. The wide receiver position is not valued more than an NFL quarterback. Heck, it's not even valued more than an NFL pass rusher. It's not going to happen. Beckham is set to make, what, $1.8 million this season? Set to make over $10 million this year in endorsements, though. And shout out to him, because Beckham is a guy who's getting his moolah right now. I love the deal with Nike, which is valued at $5.8 million. That's a newly signed Nike deal. And next season, I mean, he's still got time to go in this contract. Next year, Beckham is scheduled to be paid $8.49 million in the fifth year of his rookie contract. Beckham, he's getting paid right now. And wide receivers, though, they're never going to be paid contractually more than an NFL quarterback. That is just not going to happen. With all due respect, though, to Beckham's comments, I mean, you look at Julio Jones, you look at Antonio Brown. Right now, Antonio Brown, he recently signed a new deal worth $17 million per season. Pretty sexy deal for Antonio, who, of course, balls out with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Went to college at Central Michigan University. Also, did you see what Antonio Brown pulled up with for Pittsburgh Steelers camp? That was really cool, I must say. He pulled up in like an old school 1960s Rolls Royce with a butler, I might add. Funky fresh. The butler came out and let him out, and he tiptoed out the car as cameras flashed everywhere. Very cool stuff, and a very cool way to break up the monotony that is NFL training camp. I saw the Green Bay Packers. They actually rode their bikes to NFL training camp. Very cool stuff. So I think that's become like the new thing. You know, what do you do entering, you know, training camp doors, right? I love that. It's very cool for the fans, and it was really cool to see that sight out in Wisconsin as the fans were certainly loving the Packers rolling up on their bikes to NFL training camp. But again, you look at Antonio Brown, what a hefty contract, but it still doesn't make him the highest paid player in the league. I mean, that's just wide receiver money. Right? Which is still good moolah. I mean, Antonio Brown, $17 million per season, that's great. But the NFL's highest paid player this season is Joe Flacco at almost $25 million against the salary cap, 24.55 to be exact. Nine of the top 10 players on the list of the highest paid players in the league are, you guessed it, quarterbacks. The highest paid wide receiver this year, though, he actually tops Antonio Brown, that being Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant at $17 million. So the Giants and Beckham, they have not begun negotiations on a new contract, but Beckham is very smart in putting this out there for the uninterrupted.com and saying that he wants to be paid because, hey, he may get paid, but he has to go out there and perform. Beckham, one of the most talented wide receivers I have ever seen play the game. If this upcoming year is anything like we've seen in the past, he'll be just fine. And he won't have to worry about moolah, especially with that Nike endorsement as well. All right. Oh, and I also want to bring up, I mean, I have to bring up this, because Matthew Stafford has not even signed a new contract yet. And as I mentioned in the current sports quick hit headliners, and now he's on track. Many people are predicting that Matthew Stafford will become the highest paid player in the National Football League. And I think he may feel that way as well, seeing as though he just splurged on a almost $4 million mansion, $3.85 million to be exact. Yeah, out in Atlanta, out in the ATL, 9,838 square feet, a guest house, a pool, a cabana, a theater, a wine cellar, a tennis court, 3 extra half baths. It must be nice to be a millionaire. Wow. I'm curious to see what happens with Matthew Stafford's contract, though. Because, you know, you look at, we tackled this last week on Current Sports, really breaking down how the moolah is shifted when it comes to especially quarterbacks in the league. And right now, Matthew Stafford is on pace to be that guy. And you better believe that he has to live up to that contract. He really does, if he does indeed become the highest paid player in the league. You know, a report came out yesterday that had a lot of folks talking. And get this, this is what it found. And again, right now, Colin Kaepernick, he's a big topic of conversation also in the National Football League, because Colin, you know, he set off a lot of conversation due to his national anthem protest. And John Harbaugh brought up the possibility of Colin possibly signing with the Ravens to help his depleting quarterback depth chart. But this morning, the Ravens signed quarterback David Olsen, formerly of the Kansas City Phantoms, which is the Champions Indoor Football League, really dispelling any notion of the Ravens going through with signing Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, it's interesting because you hear this dialogue. I mean, either you fall on the side of the fence that says, okay, Colin Kaepernick is unjustly being treated wrongly here due to him taking a stance for inequality here in America. Much props to him. Much props to him. I'm all for Colin Kaepernick. You either fall on that side of the fence or you fall on the other side of the fence. In addition to that view, you say, okay, and it is totally wrong that the dude does not have a job in the NFL right now simply because of him taking that stance. Because many people believe that Colin Kaepernick could at least, he at least has a skill set to be at least a backup in the National Football League. Or you fall on the other side of the fence that says, you know what, this dude just simply hasn't produced throughout his career with the exception of that 1 year in which he did go to a Super Bowl. But since then, he has not been a great quarterback. If you sign him from a business standpoint, it may not be good business because you have to deal with the distraction of having a dude like Colin Kaepernick who did decide to take a knee during the national anthem protest, and there are a lot of people out there that did not agree with that stance. Signing Colin Kaepernick could be bad for our team's business and an unneeded distraction in the locker room. So you fall in either on that side or the other side, right? And for me, you know, I tend to fall, even though props to him because it took a lot of courage for Colin Kaepernick to say, you know what, I'm going to take a knee during the national anthem. That takes a lot of courage because you knew that you were going to get a lot of backlash for that. And again, it's a protest. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, he's protesting inequality here in America. Everything that's happened, especially when it comes to African-American relations as it pertains to law enforcement here in the U.S. of A., I was all for it. I had no problem with Colin Kaepernick doing that. However, you have to know what you're getting yourself into when you make a move like that. There are going to be teams out there that are going to look at it from a business standpoint and say, I don't want that kind of distraction for my ball club, especially for a player who is not among one of the top tier quarterbacks in the league. We're going to sign a backup and have to deal with that kind of distraction. It's not worth it. So I get it from a business standpoint. And Colin going on record and saying, you know what, I made my point. I'm no longer going to kneel now during national anthem protest. Either you're all in, Colin, or you're not. It made it look like Colin was not genuine in making that stance now, because now you've reneged on it. It makes it look like you've reneged on it just to make sure that you have a shot in getting a job in the National Football League. So if I'm an NFL GM, I don't know if I'm dealing with that distraction. You're a backup. You're not a starting quarterback in the NFL Football League. So why would I draft you and have to deal with that kind of distraction? Going back to that poll, though, from ESPN. National anthem protests were the top reason that NFL fans watched fewer games last season. According to a new survey, released by J.D. Power, the article was posted by ESPN. National anthem protests, the top reason that NFL fans watch fewer games? I'm not buying that. Don't believe every stat that you read, folks. The pollster said that it asked more than 9,200 people who attended either one football, basketball, or a hockey game whether they tuned into fewer games and why. 26% of those who watched fewer games last season said their national anthem protests, some of which were led by Colin Kaepernick, were the reason. Stop it. After that, 24% of those surveyed who said they watched fewer games said they did so either because of the league's off-the-field image issues with domestic violence or with game delays, including penalties. 1 in 5, 20%, listed excessive commercials and advertising as a reason, something the NFL is seeking to address by moving around traditional ad blocks. But come on. You're telling me. And by the way, we did have a presidential election that caused a lot of folks to tune out of NFL games on a, let's say, Thursday night. Or even, you know, as the season goes on, they even have Saturday night football, you know, and you had the debate between, you know, Hillary and Donald Trump. After the presidential election, the ratings evened out. If you look at those numbers, the ratings evened out. That was a huge distraction for football fans everywhere when it came to this past NFL season. But people still watched. It's the NFL, for goodness sake. If you look at the ratings after the presidential election, they were still pretty impressive. So I looked at this survey and kind of chuckled. You know, fans saying that national anthem protests were the top reason that they tuned out and watched fewer games? Come the heck on. I'm not buying that whatsoever. I want to invite to the show, before we hit this first break, Isaac Constance and Jacob Herbert. Jacob Herbert, current sports reporter and intern, who is also engineering behind the glass. He's a jack of all trades. And also, we all know that Isaac Constance is a jack of all trades, our regular current sports engineer. Guys, I don't know if you saw that poll, but I wanted to bring it up because I thought it was very important. I'm not buying those numbers. And again, these numbers are a bit biased because if you look at the numbers, if you specify those numbers after the presidential election, they went up, actually. So when you're hearing about this, I think it's just trying to get a conversation started. I don't know.
What it is people lie to make a point.
For sure.
That's always the case.
For
if I'm trying to have the debate with you about, let's say, the greatest power forward of all time, I might embellish my guy's stats a little bit. You know, I might just give a little bit extra force in there. So maybe you didn't like the national anthem protest. That's great. You know, good for you, whatever. That's fine. But the thing is, moving forward, that's not enough for you to say, you know what? I'm not watching the Detroit Lions because I don't want to watch a national anthem protest.
You still
that's
watch.
That's not true.
You still
that's a
watch.
Sideshow.
Yeah.
You watch it. You're doing that, you're entering that data to make a point. We don't have brain scanners on these people. This is all self-report. So it's a whole bunch of political motivations from either side. They're just trying to make a point. Thing with Colin Kaepernick, too, I side with you kind of, Al, in that I think Kaepernick's a good dude. I like him. I respect everybody who wears a Kaepernick jersey on the street. As I said, when he first did this protest back, what, a year ago now. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I don't think Kaepernick should be wearing a jersey. For the same reason I don't think Tim Tebow should be wearing a jersey.
Talent.
Both
talent.
Are good players. Both are fine. But they're backup quarterbacks. And
right.
With a backup quarterback, you want stability. You want quietude. You do not want a distraction in the locker room that's going to take away press from a guy like Joe Flacco, the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. Kaepernick, you're a good player, but you're better off in Canada.
Becomes a distraction. Simple as that. Jacob?
Yeah, no, just real quickly, that would make me want to watch more games. You know, the protests. Who, you know, just to kind of see who's doing it, who's going to follow Kaepernick's lead. So I'm actually in the exact opposite.
It's like watching
boat.
Drama, right? It's like, okay, why do you turn your head when you pass a car accident, right? You're curious. You're just curious to see what that looks like, right? I mean, what's going on? Who's hurt? What the accident looks like, right? I mean, it created drama. So if anything, it would make you tune in more, right? I mean, that's an interesting point of view. So when looking at it, before the election, November 8th, games for the first 9 weeks were down 14% compared to 2015. The final 8 weeks only saw a drop of a measly 1% compared to weeks 10 through 17 in 2015. You still watched. It is the NFL. The NFL is the only sport here in America where it doesn't matter what month you're talking about. Heck, we are talking about it in July. No games are even being played. It does not matter what month you bring up the NFL, and people will want to hear about it. The NFL rules when it comes to North American sports. And don't sit back and say that you did not watch simply because of a protest. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll have the swap meet with James Moore. We also will recap what took place last night at the Lansing Center, the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. What a night it was. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. You know, we've been talking about the New York Times CTE report throughout the week here on Current Sports. And again, if you've been living under a rock and don't know about this story, a neuropathologist by the name of Dr. Ann McKee has examined the brains of 111 NFL players. 110 were found to have chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is the degenerative disease linked to repeated blows to the head. It's been a hot topic. We've talked about the, you know, what kind of effect this will have when it comes to the game on current players, also in youth sports, so on and so forth. And you know, we even brought up the story yesterday how John Urschel, now former Baltimore Ravens lineman, he decided to retire at the age of 26. I mean, he's pursuing a doctorate in math at MIT, and he told the team yesterday that he was hanging up his cleats because he is worried about his long-term mental health, especially as he tries to obtain a doctorate at a school like MIT. So we decided to invite, of course, James Moore on, like we do each and every Friday, for the SWAT meet with James Moore, Speaking with a Purpose, the Speaking with a Purpose campaign that James is a part of, former MSU football fullback, great of 1988 Rose Bowl champion who played the game of football for 19 years. We decided to bring this conversation to James, who was also a youth football coach, assistant coach, under the tutelage of Rob Zimmerman at DeWitt High School for the DeWitt Panthers. And, you know, James has an interesting take on this topic as a man who played the game for 19 years. We pre-taped this morning and invited James to the studio for this segment. So let's get right to it. Let's roll that in right now. The SWAT meet with James Moore.
Wow. Speaking with a Purpose.
That's, you know, great stuff.
Swapping out that negative behavior for positive. Swapping out the negative thoughts, negative words for positive, because the power of the tongue is so powerful. If we get to the adults to swap some things out, it'd be easier to help with these kids swapping things out. And it's not for me. The glory is going to go to God, and just to help inspire other people to make good choices.
Well, as you just heard, we have been highlighting the New York Times article centered on CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, in which Dr. Ann McKee found to have seen CTE traces in 110 brains of former football players. James Moore of the Swap Meet with James Moore. First off, James, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing fantastic, Al. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Happy Good. Friday, dude.
Yes, sir.
We were talking off the air about this story, and we want this to be the premise of today's Swap Meet. I just want to first start off by asking you a real generic question here. What, especially with you being a former football player yourself, playing for 19 years, what's your initial reaction to that story?
Well, you know, it's sad. It's sad. You got, like you said, 110 out of 111, you know, that had the traces of the CTE. And it's sad because that's part of the game. It's, you know, when you sign up for something like that and you didn't know how serious it was at that time, but now, you know, it's coming to pass. And it's just like anything else you do, though. If you do it for so long, it does take a wear and tear on your body. But this just happens to be the brain. And, you know, it's sad that we're having to deal with this.
For sure. And a lot of individuals are looking at a story like this. And, you know, you see the story of John Urschel, who has decided to retire abruptly. Baltimore Ravens offensive lineman yesterday announcing that, you know, he's going to call it quits at the age of 26. John Urschel, a very smart dude. I highlighted the Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel feature that was done on him as he is pursuing his doctorate at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and really has a great future after the game when it comes to him taking the scholarly route. I have to ask you, James, will there be a significant domino effect from players like John Urschel who are looking at a report like this and saying, you know what, my long-term health is more important right now?
You know, it may be. It may be because one thing about football, and this is what I always teach and talk to my kids about football, about sports, period, you're always one play away from ending your career, okay? When it comes to this CTE thing, you know, they're in the professional level now, and they're playing at that level, the highest level there is. Some guys may follow in his lead because, like you said, you're always one play away from ending your career. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot bigger and better things to do, you know, out in the world. You can't play it forever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it may be a domino effect. It may not. That's a flip up.
You know, we were talking, James, and, you know, you mentioned how football players, you know, you know what you sign up for when you're playing the game of football, right? However, when it comes to CTE, we have not known about CTE until about 5-6 years ago. It's relatively new. And you look at everybody that's played the game before, like yourself. I mean, back in the day, I mean, if you were suspected of having a concussion, it was smelling salts, right? You go to the sideline.
Where you at?
Where you at relatively well.
James, yep.
You go right back out, right? And now you're seeing all these retired football players walk into a room and don't know where they are and hop into the car to pick up their son or daughter from school and forget where the school is. I mean, it's a very real thing. So from that point of view, has the NFL and other levels of football neglected to truly address this issue?
No.
Why do you say that?
I say that, and I was getting elaborate. I just had to say no. Because we, as athletes, know what we signed up for, okay? When you say, have they neglected, when I played back in the 80s at college, everybody was doing everything they could at that time to help, to protect us. Mm-hmm. But now it's just gotten to the point where, why are we... Football is football. It's a contact sport.
But at the same time, James, those players back in the day did not know about CTE. They didn't know that if I keep playing this game, I am going to do serious harm that could lead to depression and mood swings and thoughts of suicide later on down in life.
I understand what you're saying, but guess what? You signed up for it. I'm not.
I hear you.
I don't want to feel sick, but
it's like if you engage in activity and those in charge of that activity, this being football, don't tell you about the risk that you are putting yourself at. There's some neglect there.
It is painkillers
like Skittles when you first walk into the locker room.
It is to a certain extent, okay? It is neglect, but it has always been safety first in football when I was playing too. Okay. At that time, from what we knew, our coaches taught us how to hit, how you're supposed to do certain things, okay? All the time. They've taught us that. They shared that with us. Did we do it every time? Sometimes. And then other times, we got our butt reamed out because we didn't do it like we were supposed to. But I
think it would have been different if you guys would have known. When you played, James, if you would have known that CTE was a thing, if that was a thing back then, the game would have been different.
Dude, the game was played back in the day. The game would have been different to a certain extent because, you know, you're talking to the guy that was the lightest fullback in the Big Ten at 215, 210 pounds. Mm-hmm. I ran up against guys that were 265 and up, linebackers, Chris Spielman. And I ran over and over again, not just myself, Joe Pugh, Steve Montgomery, was a trio of us, okay? Leading up through that hole for low right, all right? Back time after time after time. But we knew what we were signing up for.
But you didn't know about CTE.
Guess what?
And that's the thing. That's the thing that really gets me. You know?
I understand. But you know what, though?
And it's a relatively new thing.
It's a new thing.
And it's hard for me to imagine that if this information that we are learning, it seems like by the month now, about this disease, if the information was out back in the 80s, you wouldn't see
I still would have played football.
You probably still would have played. Yeah, but the way the game is played. That's the thing.
How
James.
Are you going to change the game? What I'm saying though is, how are you going to change it to where you're not going to have the collisions like you do? How? You tell me how.
The only way you're going to do that is
making flag football.
In a way, you may have to go to that extreme, Jay.
Come on, man.
If we say health is number one in playing sport,
okay,
and you look at numbers like this, you have to limit how much contact you have throughout the game.
Here we
you
go.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing is,
but you're gonna have that contact in the game. Every game is gonna be the same. I mean, so now don't get me wrong. We're gonna limit. We do limit it in practices. Okay, don't get me. We only can hit Tuesday and Wednesday hard. Good, but we don't do it a lot.
Do you agree with that? Do you like that modification?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. Because
why do you say that?
Because football's football. Let's hit. But I have to say, on the flip side of that, because I don't want nobody to get hurt.
Especially.
You know what I'm saying? The injuries, okay? Injuries, the ankles, the, you know, concussions, the concussions. But I'm old school. Let's hit, okay? Quit babying these kids. Let's hit. That's football.
Now, on the flip side of that is, when it comes to youth sports, because Isaac and I brought up this yesterday. And this is something that's been highlighted when having a conversation of CTE and concussions. I mean, the brain isn't fully developed until what? Maybe like your late or early 20s, I should say, teenage years.
At the earliest.
At the earliest, right? And you talk about kids having that kind of contact at 7, 8 years old, that young. And I just can't imagine Lord willing, if I have a son, thinking about my son at 8 years old playing full contact football, tackle football, when his brain is still being developed, knowing what I know now about concussions and long-term health effects, I mean, he's playing flag until high school, James. I'm just saying, I'm
high
just being
school?
Real here. Yeah, until high school, dude.
High school?
Because you look at the numbers and you look at the detrimental effects that are out there, James.
But guess what?
It blows my mind.
I'm going to tell you what you're going to do, too, then. You're going to put him behind the eight ball when he goes up to compete against other kids.
Possibly so. I'm putting health first.
Trust me, man. My thing is, you just got to have him with the right coaches. Get him in the right programs. Because regardless at where you're at and what age they start at, if they're not being coached right and not being led in the right direction, you're going to have these issues. You're going to have these issues regardless because it's football. I just shared this analogy with you. I shared it with Isaac. I shared it. Football, basketball is a contact sport.
It is. Different kind of contact.
Basketball is a contact sport. All contact in basketball is not a foul. Football is a collision sport.
It is.
Period. Period.
And you look at what we know now and what we're starting to know now, you have to debate whether or not that should be changed. This is a great segue into my next question now, though, because you're an assistant coach with the DeWitt Panther high school football team. What are you guys doing to combat youth sports as it relates to concussions when you're a gridiron?
What we have is, and they call them helmet shields. Mm-hmm. Helmet shields that our kids have to wear during practice, during all our practices. Okay, all our practices it's a shield that goes over your helmet with pads.
And I didn't even notice this incident until you talked to me about this.
It goes over, it's like a pillow, almost like a cushion over the helmet, and it snaps, mm-hmm. so it stays in. Okay, mm-hmm. and they have to wear those at practice. Mm-hmm. And once again, too, we limit. Hitting.
You roll your eyes when you say that.
We limit the hitting.
You have to, right? I mean,
you have to.
These are kids.
But you still have to have game time situations.
Right.
Because if you don't have game time situations, when the game time rolls around, some of your kids don't know how to respond mm-hmm. to the game time situations.
So in having this conversation, James, do you feel like in a way many youth coaches are babying kids?
I'm not talking about youth coaches because I'm talking about high school. Uh-huh. I'm talking about high school because youth coaches, you have to limit because you're trying to teach. They're young. You want to teach them. You have to go over the basics over and over and over again. So it's a difference at youth. In high school, you know what? You know me. I'm like, all out, baby. Let's go.
Right.
Let's go.
At high school, that has to end, huh?
Yes. Okay. But I'm at a great position right now with Coach Zim. Okay, he's a great mentor.
Yeah, Rob Zimmerman, head coach of the DeWitt Panthers.
He's a great mentor. Mm-hmm. He's teaching me a lot. And he runs the program like it's supposed to be run.
Right.
From top to bottom. Family, education, and then sports. And that's what it's all about. He is preparing young men to go into the world, to go to college, or to go into the work world and have three things: structure, order, and discipline. And that's what sports does.
And that's what sports does. And that's a great note to close it out on, because I think that at the end of the day, when it comes to the game of football, despite the concussion discussion, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, football teaches you so much about life. It teaches you so much about brotherhood. It teaches you so much about family. Those are life skills that you will carry with you throughout your entire lifetime. And with that being said, I do believe, though, there's a way to keep those values intact without risking the long-term health of our youth.
I mean, it is a way. Mm-hmm. And they are making some changes. And don't get me wrong, I go along with the changes. Some of them I may not agree with. But you know what, though? I had to change, though, when I started coaching.
Right.
And because everything, you know, as we get older, it's hard for us to adapt to change.
It is.
Okay? The older we get.
You're old school, started, James. You're like, I just want to get after the kids. You hit football.
But you have to coach different. You know, you got to coach kids different. You got to, you know, one kid you can yell and scream at and rip him a new one. He goes out and performs. One kid you yell and scream at, he goes in a bubble and he's done for the day.
Right.
So there's things you have to do. But you know what, though? Overall, I have the kids' best interest at heart. Very concerned about safety, because that's across the board. Safety first, making sure these kids are doing things the right way and they don't get hurt, you know, because their parents trust them in our hands. And hopefully we do the right thing. That's what we try to do. And so, you know, Zim got a great program. We get started on the 7th.
I can't believe that. Wow. I can't wait to have you on to kind of preview the upcoming high school football year. Right around the corner. Enjoy the summer while you can, right, James?
Oh, dude, it's flying by.
James Moore, the swap meet with James Moore. James, how can they get in touch with you, my man?
Hey, Spartan, jmoore@gmail.com or
facebook.com/currentsports. The swap meet with James Moore, another edition in the books. Thanks a lot, James.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome back to WKAR's current sports. We have under 10 minutes left on our airwaves, 10 minutes left on the week that has been here on WKAR's current sports. You know, I want to close out the show by commending one of our current sports interns, Karina Garcia. She has done a great job reporting for us as the summer months wind down here. And her latest story centered on a former MSU football player by the name of Khalil Gaines, who played corner and wide receiver, so both sides of the ball, when he was here at Michigan State. Didn't get a lot of playing time, and actually decided to transfer from Michigan State University. And Karina got a chance to talk to him about that transfer and really dig into why he decided to transfer from Michigan State. And he also commented on the drama-filled year that was the 3-9 season, that was the sexual assault charge offseason that included four MSU football players. So, Karina, first off, I want to ask you, because this thing has right now on our website, it is the highest viewed story at about, 4,561 views. Michigan State 247 Sports picked it up. That has over 5,000 views there. So a combination of 9,000 views total. Yeah. How did you get in touch with Khalil?
I've always seen him around. I used to do athletic training, so I knew him from that. I used to have a class with him. So I knew some of his friends. So I contacted one of the younger players who knew him. And I was like, can I just get his number? I know of him. We're cool. So I just wanted to do a story on him. So once I got in contact with him, I basically told him what I wanted to talk about. But he was, I felt like he trusted me.
Right.
And I kind of took it a different approach. It was more like on a friendly, vibe instead of professional, just so he'd be more open and willing to talk to me.
It was an informal conversation.
Like an informal conversation. And he was talking away. He was just open.
He was very open. A few quotes. One quote that really stands out. There's three that I wanted to bring up, but I'll bring up one here. Quote, "That's just how sports are. If you have a big name, you can get away with almost everything. You can definitely get away with more than those who don't have a big name. That's just how it is, even though it's not cool. I guess he's helping the team and you're not," end quote. Again, that's from one of the quotes, one of the standout quotes from that story. Why do you think he was so open? Do you think, him not being a part of the program anymore had a little bit to do with that? He can be a bit unfiltered?
I think that had to do with it. I also think, he was here for 2 years and obviously, it must have been hard not playing. I wouldn't say he was bitter, towards the team, but
right.
I think he had a lot to get off his chest.
Definitely. And he will now play out his final 2 years of eligibility at Arizona Western JUCO Junior College. He will be majoring in communications. A lot of views on this story, Karina. What's been the reaction from maybe even some Michigan State players, of course, under the condition of anonymity, that have read this story and even some readers that have read it? What has been the reaction from those individuals?
Well, as for players, just some of them have, showed their support for what he had to say. So that was surprising to me. But just people
in what regard? In what regard? As far as
just
his specific relationship with D'Antonio?
His statements about, what the team was going through at the time.
Okay.
And his opinions on no playing time and those who don't play.
Definitely.
And also it's just known, bigger players will get away with more things. It's just known.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of people, since it got picked up by 247 Sports, there's been a lot of comments on that story as well. Some people didn't have the most positive things to say about Khalil, and some people did. Some people supported him,
right.
Saying, maybe he should have stood. He's just upset that he didn't get it to play. So it was going back and forth. A lot of people surprised about his comments on D'Antonio. And the big-time players, getting away with stuff. And some people weren't. They were like, we expected that because, it's a big team. How could he know the people on the team? So, yeah, kind of varied. But
yeah, when you have a roster of, 70 players, it's really hard to have a personal relationship on a regular basis with all of them. But, and Khalil throughout the article said that, he didn't really have a really in-depth relationship compared to some of the players who start on a normal basis, those who are the stars, quote-unquote stars of the team. Also, when it came to the 3-9 record, another quote I want to bring up is, trying to pinpoint why they had such a bad season. He pinpoints the Indiana game, the loss to Indiana. Quote, Gaines says this in coming from the article, quote, "After we lost that game to Indiana, people stopped caring, and they were just trying to make it through the rest of the season. And, when you keep losing people, when you keep losing, people start to argue and point fingers, but nobody fell out and the team was never really divided. Were you surprised that he was able to pinpoint one moment where he started to see the demise of MSU football last year?
Yeah, I actually didn't expect him to be that honest. But I feel that, you know, the people saw that. They knew that. But for him to come out and admit that, that was pretty big.
Does he have any regrets about the article at all?
He didn't. Actually, you know, I sent him the link after, you know, just so he could see it himself. And he said that it was a good story, that he didn't regret it. And, you know, he's happy. I think he's either today or in the next few days, he's going to Arizona Western.
Right.
So he's just focused on that right now, but he's not regretful.
What's his hopes? What's Khalil's hopes? Is he trying to, obviously, if he's still playing collegiate football, he's still trying to make that leap to the NFL, right?
Yeah,
he's got 2 years.
He did have a quote, yeah, saying that. And at the end of the story, it says that his goal is to play in the league, but if not, he wants to be a sports analyst. So that's why he's doing communications. But, yeah, those are his goals. He hopes to play a lot at Arizona Western. So
great. We may have to get him on Current Sports and then get him some practice, right, as a sports analyst. Let's try and set that up. If you want to read Karina's article, just simply go to WKAR.org. The article is entitled Khalil Gaines Reveals Reason Behind Transfer and Drama-Filled MSU Football Year. Great reporting, Karina. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we have just 1 minute left in today's Current Sports and this week of Current Sports. Isaac Jacob, favorite moments of the week, my man. I wanted to highlight the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. We'll put those raw interviews on WKAR.org. But fun ceremony last night, right?
Oh, really was. How about Zion Williamson and LaMelo Ball actually doing it out on an AAU circuit? A whole new level of attention
LaMelo.
Brought to the high school game. Yeah, LaMelo and Zion Williamson faced off and thousands of people tuned in. So it just shows you high school basketball, it's exploded like never before.
Especially the AAU circuit. Jacob, real quickly, favorite moment of the week?
Yeah, real quickly, you mentioned earlier Antonio Brown showing up in with a butler. I don't know if you saw this. James Harrison actually rode in on a fire truck. The man bought his own fire truck and drove it into training camp, so that's just amazing.
That's becoming a new thing, man, to roll up in training camp in style. All right, we'll see you Monday, folks. Take care, have a great weekend, and as always, be easy, people.